When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to episode 203 of Glasgow is Green, aka GigPod, everybody's favourite Celtic podcast. So I'm your host for this week's episode, Rizzo, and I'm going to be talking about our fairly entertaining 3-1 win over St Johnstone yesterday, which was a game of two halves, as the old cliche goes. And joining me on this week's episode is Dan. How you doing, Dan?
I'm not too bad, John. Not too bad. A long working day out the road there. True working class heroes that we are, we're still cracking on with the podcast, giving the listeners more and more wonderful gig pod content, but no, it's always good to chat with yourself, mate, so happy to be here, albeit virtually.
Right, so the game yesterday, I think we only need to cover the first half in one word, shite. It really was embarrassingly bad, one of your worst performances I can remember in the domestic game for a long time, and apparently Brendan agreed because he was apparently fuming at half time. I think the only really thing we need to talk about in the first half is the goal. That was such a terrible goal to give away. I've seen some people saying it was a free kick, but I don't think it was. I think it was just mistakes by the usual suspects, Hart and Taylor, and they got themselves on a tackle and St Johnstone scored. For me, it wasn't a foul. Do you agree with that?
I agree completely, yeah. I thought, as usual, we've been bullied and not defended a set piece as well as we should do. It's happened time and time again. Same with the attacking set pieces, particularly in the bigger games. I know it's a point that we've all talked about previously on this podcast, is that we don't utilise attacking set pieces well enough. We don't defend defensive set pieces anywhere near well enough either. As you say, there it is, the usual suspects. Obviously, we'll get on to that big, big save he makes in the second half, but Joe Hart failing to command his 6-yard box, not for the first time, and obviously players not tracking their man, just getting bullied and physically overpowered by the opposition, which should not be happening. So, no, it really did just sum up that half for us there. Obviously, then, you know, Brendan gets the boys in at half time, makes the point that it was probably the angriest that he's been, certainly up there throughout his managerial career, and fair enough, to be honest, because I thought that first half was absolutely dire. We're not going to talk about it or touch on it too much beyond obviously the goal, but it really did just sum up how poor we were in that first half.
Yeah, it was absolutely terrible. And so Brendan made a change at half-time. He took off Yang, who really was poor. I don't want to criticise him that much because, I mean, I feel sorry for him. He's just a young player getting thrown into the Celtic team, the new stuttering Celtic team. So he got replaced at halftime by Mikey Johnson, who's like magically appeared back in the squad for the last couple of weeks. And then we made another sub after 58 minutes, David Tumbo, who unsurprisingly didn't contribute a lot. He didn't really score. a goal for like 30 yards this time, or apparently, so he didn't do much. He was replaced by O. And O really made a big impact. I mean, I know people were saying Mikey Johnson played well, but really O did well for me, especially when he played a part in two of the goals. And he was involved in the first goal where he had a back heel that was sort of cleared. It was a sort of semi-save by Mitov, the St. Johnson goalkeeper, who seems to be always good against us for some reason. I don't know why. And the ball broke to Callum McGregor, who had been very poor up to this point, and he smashed the ball into the back of the net to get his in level terms, and his celebration was interesting because he was like shouting and roaring at the fans, like, come on, come on. And I mean, after the game, he says that Brendan was going ballistic at the players at halftime, and that's unlike Brendan, but it really was something. McGregor, I mean, for about 60 minutes onwards, he really controlled the game. And I thought it was an excellent goal. It was just reminding me about his goal against Aberdeen last Christmas. Sounds like a song there. And it was a good goal, but really, we need a lot more of that from McGregor. I mean, I don't know how we're going to get the best of him, because I think we should involve Iwata more, because I don't think he's involved enough. But we need a lot more of that from McGregor, because in recent games, I think he's been poor. But I thought that was one of his best goals for Celtic.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was an absolute mile off it, like yourself, in the first hour or so. He was frustrating the life out of me, to be honest, John. But ultimately, that is what the captain should do, is come up with big goals and big contributions and big moments when both he and the team aren't playing well. And credit to them, it was a great strike. I know he's had a few volleys recently. I think of the one for Scotland, for example, that won that penalty, and one or two other efforts that it was inevitable, I suppose, sooner or later, that one would end up in the back of the net, given how often he's been trying that recently. And obviously, as I said there, it was a big goal for us, a big moment. And justifiably, though, I think you and I were both very annoyed at his contribution up to that point. But to be fair, after that goal, both he and the team obviously really kicked on and went on to win the game fairly comfortably in the end.
We needed that. It was a big goal, because we hadn't really created that many chances. We had that one in the first minute when Kyogo put over the bar. Then, like, McGregor had actually put a great through ball to Kyogo a couple of minutes before he scored, and the goalie came out and, like, made a save really quickly. I think Kyogo maybe could have done better by trying to lift it over the goalie. Mitov didn't give him a lot of time. So that made it one each, at least. And then the goal that put us ahead is one of the best goals we've scored this season. It was a goal that good old Ange, mind him, the guy that played great football when he was a manager, he'd have been proud of that. I mean, it was a great team move. There was a lot of players involved. The ball ended up getting laid off to Matt O'Reilly, who was about 30 yards out. And just before he scored, I actually texted our dear leader and said, O'Reilly's been poor today, because he hadn't really done much at all. But he stepped up and just smashed the ball into the back of the net for about 30 yards out. And it was a brilliant, brilliant goal. And I think after that goal, Kyogo and Mitov got booked for no real reason. That was an odd one. But no, that really, I think, might be Celtic's goal of the season. And I think O'Reilly needed that, because, I mean, obviously he's been great for us this season, but he wasn't really very good against Motherwell. He didn't have the best game in midweek, but then nobody did. But that was much more like it for him, and I'm sure he'll take massive confidence for it. And I think that's the best goal we've scored this season. It was a great goal. And do you agree with me that it's a goal that good old Ange would have been proud to score for one of his teams, for Tottenham, in fact?
Down in the good old Premier, John, of course. Yeah, like, it was an outstanding goal. Obviously, in his first spell, good old Brendan, we had that amazing team goal up at St. Johnstone in a victory. Not quite as many passes, obviously, on this occasion. It was a bit more direct, but a brilliant team move. You know, that's the one thing we've talked about in recent weeks, and Rodgers has talked about in recent weeks, is needing to have that speed and to play quick, and we certainly did on that occasion. And then Matt O'Reilly, as you say, hadn't had a brilliant game up to that point, but steps up, and the trajectory of the ball was very interesting as well, because he really did just arrow it in. It didn't really curve away for the goalkeeper or anything like that at all. He just struck it with so much power. It was a really straight, direct hit, thoroughly deserved, given the way that we really took a hold of the game in the second half.
Yeah, we really dominated from just before McGregor's goal onwards, and we practically dominated the rest of the game until injury time. Now, there was 5 minutes in injury time, which seemed pretty fair, but then we sort of went into slight panic mode. It wasn't as bad as the game against Motherwell, where we went into complete panic mode. And we somehow managed to give St. Johnson a great chance right at the very end of the game. We gave the guy in the wing far too much time. Alistair Johnson didn't stop the cross. and it was a header. Now, I thought the header was by Stevie May, with a typical Stevie May header, but I think the replay showed that it was actually Turner Cook, one of the Rossos, with a header. And Joe Hart made the save. It was a pretty good save, but it is one you would expect the goalkeeper to make. But then it allowed us to break and Ode on well in the middle of the park, right on halfway lane, winning the ball. He got it out to Iwata, who'd come on, and his pass put through James Forrest, who was clean through, 1-1, and he scored his second goal of the season. But Joe Hart, I think for maybe some people, has made up for his earlier error in the game, but no for me. I mean, I think it was a decent save, but it was one that I would have expected most goalkeepers to make. And I think the alarming thing was that towards the end of a game that we were winning, we saw him in a panic mode again.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, no, it was a big, big save. A crucial moment in the game. But as you say, that is a save you would expect them to make. Certainly a Celtic goalkeeper, or any goalkeeper of a certain level, you would expect them to make that save. I think it's obviously an important time in the game. So it does deserve credit. I don't know if it does make up fully, to be honest, for the earlier error and the other points this season where he has shown to be a bit of a weakness, not just in Europe, but I think domestically, as I mentioned earlier on with set pieces, I don't think he's anywhere near commanding enough. But like, I'll let it slide because it was a big save, a big moment. But notwithstanding that, I think we need to definitely look at that area in January, albeit Brendan Rodgers' comments after the game yesterday seem to indicate that he's not too fussed about the goalkeeping situation at the moment. But I'm sure that's something we'll discuss on here in a bit more depth closer to January. Again, very good break. I know St John's had sort of thrown everyone forward at that stage of the game there, but as you say, Oh and Iwata combined very well. James Forrest is then obviously there to pick up the pieces and finish off. Fair play to him, obviously, coming off the bench and making a contribution. I've no problem with that. I know he was criticised in midweek, or maybe not him necessarily as an individual, but more so the image, if you like, that we're still persisting with someone like that at Champions League level in 2023. But domestically in these games, particularly against tired legs, he can still obviously contribute with goals and assists, particularly, as I say, later on in games. And credit to him, it was a good finish. I think the most credit needs to go to Iwata, who I know Stevie, our dear leader, has been pushing for on this podcast to start on a more regular basis for a good while now. I think he has to start in midweek against Hibs. I know Turnbull played at the weekend. Bernardo and Holm have had opportunities. I just think that Iwata is the obvious call to have in that midfield alongside McGregor and O'Reilly on Wednesday night. And going forward, far more of a finished article than either Bernardo or Holm. And I just think what he gives you all round, albeit not that same goal threat that Turnbull gives you, but I think he just has more quality. I think he's just better and more comfortable, quicker as well on the ball. And that is a big thing in these games, is having speed in your play when you're playing against these low blocks and teams that like to sit deep. So, no, a really good contribution again from him. And as I say, I would be stunned if he doesn't start on Wednesday night. Rodgers sort of alluded to it today in his presser that he would get opportunities, so fingers crossed that's on Wednesday night.
Yeah, and before we talk about Wednesday, I just want to mention Brendan's quotes after the game. He said, "Don't make me ever feel I have to get to that level. My teams will normally be front foot, demanding and constant, but that's not acceptable. No matter what success they have had over the last couple of years, there is a demand at this club to continually succeed. Yes, we're missing players and dynamic players, but in the second half, you can see the levels they get to. It's comfort. It's the biggest pitfall in succeeding, that you become timid and lose your aggression. It's easily done, but it's my job to guard against it. I was just nowhere near that level." And that really is sort of refreshing in a way, but it shouldn't really be coming to that, that the team are so sort of lackadaisical and in the comfort zone that they just turn up like they did in the first half, because that's eventually going to come back to haunt us. In fact, it has against Johnson already this season, against Hibs in the Cup, against Kamarnock, against Motherwell. But I think it's partly Brendan's fault as well, because the team isn't playing good football. They played well for half an hour yesterday, and I mean, look what happened. So, I mean, it's up to him and the players. I mean, obviously, we won't go into the board and the absolute mess I've made in the transfer window, because we can talk more about that in the weeks to come. But I think it's Brendan and the players. I don't know, something doesn't really seem right. It's like every game there is a tightrope, and I think it's going to be like that the rest of this month. I mean, I know Dyson is maybe back soon, and Abada's maybe back soon as well, but I think Dyson will be back first, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. But we have got the players to play so much better than we are, and really, every game shouldn't really feel like a tightrope, or you don't know what Celtic's going to turn up, but that's just the way it is now.
Well, I think you can at least make the case that the St Johnstone game earlier on in the season, we were unlucky not to win. I think Mitov played an absolute blinder that day. He had a couple of very good saves yesterday as well. And if Matt O'Reilly takes one of the half a dozen chances that he did have in that game, particularly the ones in the first half, you could go on to win that game relatively comfortably. Motherwell the other week was a big red flag, if you like, for me, and that we were just so, so slow. I know I've said it time and time again, and Rodgers has said it time and time again this season as well, is about having that speed and that quickness in your play, and we totally lacked that against Motherwell the other week. It was the exact same in the first half yesterday as well, and it is a real concern. But as Rodgers said, albeit I think he can be criticised tactically or for the way he's set us up in certain games, and the football hasn't been good enough, but at the same time, you do have to question the mentality, particularly in that first half yesterday. As he said, it was players just being far too comfortable, players just wanting an easy day. You know, the approach in that first half, I know we've kind of glossed over it a little bit, but it was basically just, oh, they're going to stick 10 men behind the ball, playing this low block, give the ball to Turnbull and let him shoot, or give the ball to Palmer, he'll maybe beat his fullback and get a cross in or get a shot off. And it's far too predictable. So I do think Rodgers needs to take some of the blame there for how predictable we have been in our approach and how ineffective that has been as well. But equally, without sounding arrogant, the players that we have, with the ability that they have, they should be able to go out and win these games on their own without needing to rely on the manager or to be set up in a certain way. They should have the quality to break these teams down. You saw, obviously, in the second half yesterday with the quality of some of the goals that we scored there, albeit with the second and the third, once the game had got a little bit more open. But no, it's been very frustrating. And I think all season, bar one or two, not even full 90 minutes, but 45 or 60 minutes, a half hour here and there, it has been a very, very poor watch. It's a bit of a mess all round at the minute, to be honest, but you can only hope that the word that he had with him at halftime yesterday has concentrated a few minds, John, and we don't see similar on Wednesday.
Yep, and that's what we're going to talk about now. Before we go, we've got Hibs at Celtic Park on Wednesday night. Interestingly enough, the game isn't sold out. There's lots of tickets available, not just on X Celtic Spurs sites, but on Celtic's website there's plenty of tickets for sale. I don't know if that says a lot about how the team's playing, or maybe people understandably don't want to go out in the freezing Glasgow weather. The game on Wednesday is going to be difficult because Hibs are in decent form, unbeaten in the last six in the league. They've won the last three games. They've beat Killie, Dundee, they beat Aberdeen 2-0 at the weekend. Of course, we drew them 0-0 in a game which, thankfully, I didn't see a single second of, but our dear leader said is one of the worst games ever. And I think that's going to be a difficult game again.
They seem to have finally hit a bit of a bit of form and seem to be in a bit of a stride. I think it's the last three or the last four games now domestically that Hibs have won in a row under Nick Montgomery. So it seems as though there was some method to his initial early madness, where they were dropping points all over the place and generally just not being great. It seems to obviously be paying dividends. But I mean, we'll see how that approach stands up to real quality, and provided, as I say, we have that aggression and that speed, you know, I think we can still really test them and the players at the back for them. Equally, it will still be a difficult game. I mean, I know our record at Easter Road isn't particularly great, although we do tend to win these home games against Hibs, but they are still one of the better sides in this league, albeit they've had those early season struggles and they're on their second manager of the season. But as I say, they seem to be hitting a bit of form now, obviously, right before they play us. But as I said there, I just hope that second half performance on Sunday and the harsh words that we had at half-time have really focused the players and they can go out there and get the result.
Right, and what's your shoot prediction for the game?
Well, look, you have to be a bit brave, I think, this season to make a shoot prediction for Celtic, because we really don't know what team's going to turn up. But I like to be a glass half full, John. I like to have a nice positive mindset. And as I said there, I'd like to think that Brendan has concentrated a few minds off the back of the weekend there. So I'm going to go with 2-0 to Celtic.
And I'll go for 2-1. Another near of the game, but we get the 3 points. So it's a shorter episode this week due to technical issues and all that, but we are here, of course, with another issue, And Dan, thank you for being back on GigPod.
You're very welcome, brother. It was a pleasure as always.
Yep, so cheers to Dan, and he'll be back on the pod soon. You can get us on all the usual podcast platforms. Thanks to all our new subscribers on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Keep those subscriptions coming on both of those great sites. You can catch Stevie on Instagram at GigPod. I'll have my Rezo selects for the Hibs game up there before kickoff on Wednesday. We'll be back after the Hibs game with a review of that, another no doubt interesting night at Celtic Park. So thanks to everybody for listening. We'll speak to you all soon. Good luck to Celtic on Wednesday night, and hail hail.
Podcast Network.